We have an unofficial update on Sasha. Manny Too Legit asks, is Sasha still injured? He's been out for a very long time on the YouTube chat. Thanks for being with us on YouTube. Ryan Williams Art says, yeah, he's still wearing a boot. I saw him at the mall the other day. So I'm going to take him at his word. Saw him at the mall the other day. And then as far as if Malik Monk starts, who's your sixth man? Somebody asked that question. I'm with James X. If it comes to that, again, I'm not officially on board with that. I know Jay is, and a lot of people are. And I think Will is on board with that.
I was on board with that, and not to cut you off, I was on board with that in the beginning of the season.
I know a lot of people were. Yeah, I know you were. But then it's a matter of, okay, well, then who's your sixth man? If it got to that point, I'm with James X, who says Davion can be that spark.
Ah.
It's a little different.
Yep.
He's not the dynamic playmaker that Monk is. He wouldn't give you that kind of boost, but he might give you some kind of spark.
Well, defensively,
yes.
We know for sure.
Yes.
And he's starting to... It looks like he's starting to shoot the ball a little more confidently, Whitey.
Absolutely.
Like he's letting it fly a little bit better out the hands. He feels better.
He's looks like Keon. He's the offense is coming around. That's what I
would
say.
I love it. Keon with 18 minutes a couple games ago. No points. Coming around. But the reason I say Malik Monk, and part of, Whitey, this is somewhat the Kings' fault as well. We have to be honest. Knowing, you know, and this goes back to standing pat, knowing that you had the opportunity to maybe go out there, and I know they tried. I'm not saying, you know, we know they're in a Pascal Siakam situation. They were in, we know they talked to Kuzma. There are guys that we know they've looked out for. We know they were in the in Toronto sweepstakes for everyone. You know, they were looking, trying to move a couple of pieces up there. But I think if you moved Malik to the starting lineup and seen there was a deficiency, then you would have been more aggressive to go get someone to be that sixth man. You wouldn't have sat on your hands. And so I think that's part of it, too, is not making the moves, not trying something different, also caused you to stand pat because you put a lot of belief in what you had. And most of the times with shooters, which Kevin Herter is we're going to let him shoot himself out the slump. Well, look, it's March, whatever. What's today? 11th, 12th?
11th.
And, yeah, I mean, you know, slump's still rocking.
I know it's the 11th because it's Sheena's birthday. Happy birthday, Sheena.
Happy birthday, Mrs.
Yeah.
Gleason.
Yeah, yeah. I'm okay with them not doing anything major in the offseason. I would have liked to have seen this guy or that guy. But I get it. However, I have a hard time understanding why they weren't able to do anything, even a just kind of a cosmetic move around the edges at the break, because a lot of teams did that. And the Kings, look at the Suns. They added Royce O'Neal. Some of that maybe comes down to guys didn't want to come here. I don't know. But they could have used even just a little bit of, hey, this guy's going to be our new eighth man, something like that. This roster could have used something like that.
Yep.
So nothing major in the offseason, all right. Okay, if nothing presented itself, fine. But I don't know why they couldn't have done a little something to give this roster a boost. And to my eye and ears, when I hear the players talk and watch them, I think they wondered that too sometimes. It's like, we didn't get any help. Why didn't we get any help?
Yeah.
Everybody in the league, except maybe Denver, got help. We didn't get any help.
Nothing. Zero. Yeah. Shake Milton?
Something. I like him.
Little D Wright?
Yes. I like him a lot. Yeah. Again, I know that sometimes it's not as simple as it looks.
Yes.
Do we have our insider yet? Okay.
Not yet. He's a... Yeah. Somebody must be signing with the 49ers.
Okay, we're going to catch up with Emil when we can. It may be happening. In the meantime, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Rick has been hanging on to talk Kings with the Drive Guys. Hey, Rick, how you doing?
Hey, great, guys. How you guys doing? Well, obviously not good with the Kings. But anyway, my observation with the Lakers and the Kings, boy, are they on different courses. And I think Ham is getting some cred because he's doing what he did last year, coming on strong at the end of the season. With the Kings, they may need speed, but I don't think they're asking and answering the questions on what they could do better. And I think we're grasping at straws to what they need. And I think the one main thing that seems to be happening is a lack of focus and execution. When you talk about that number of turnovers in a game, they're trying to win by doing low percentage the players. I mean, I think this is a lot of this is on the players. If they don't have speed, they got to deal with it. You know, it'd be nice if they can get someone or if they got someone to trade for. But regardless of who's starting, you guys have even just asked that question: who's going to be the sixth man? Mm-hmm. So right now they have a starting team. I think they need to execute, but it's kind of glaring. Maybe they don't have a good bench. And listening to one of the games, the G-Man, it seems like the mindset that is such that even with the lead, there's doubt where they'll finish it off. Because I forget which game it was, but they did lose. They went into the fourth quarter with, a 9-point lead. And the G-Man made a couple of comments that kind of put doubt on, you know, faith in the Kings and being able to finish it out. So, you know, my thing is I just think they need, at this point, they could control execution, and I think they need to focus on that without, you know, someone coming in. Anyway, thanks, guys. Have a nice rest of your day.
You too. Thank you, Rick. They do need to be razor sharp in their execution when you're giving up, like yesterday, you're giving some things up athletically. So how do you compensate? You can't make mistakes. Then 9 turnovers. And he had a phenomenal game. He had a great game. But 9 turnovers is like, that really takes the wind out of your sails when you're giving up so much in other areas. How about Mike here on Sacktown Sports? Hello, Mike. How are you?
Good afternoon.
Hello.
I'm with Jay. Go with Malik and the big guy. Mix it up. Have Barnes and Herter come off the bench, and that might wake him up, especially Barnes. That guy can play. He just doesn't want to show up half the time.
Hmm.
I think if you woke him up, put him on the bench, and then brought him off the bench, might give him, piss him off a little bit, make him a little edge.
All right, Mike. My fear would be, you know, Barnes has been through it all at this point. He's on the back nine, clearly, of his career, and I don't mean that as an insult. I'm not saying he's done, but, you know, he's seen a lot. So, you know, he could probably handle just about anything if he put his mind to it. Herter, he's already struggled with his confidence, it would appear, understandably. And then if you were, okay, now you're coming off the bench, I mean, you may just be, if you do that, giving up any chance you have of getting out of him what you need to get out of him. I don't know. That's not a criticism. It's just
reality.
It's not the best way to handle a guy who's struggling with his confidence. But maybe on the other hand, if it gets to the point, like, you're not helping us, I don't know what else you can do.
Yeah.
They just don't have enough good players on this roster.
It's a fine line to walk, Whitey, and you're walking the line right now as you're trying to decipher what to do with both. And, I mean, I get it, you know, in one form or fashion. I'm like, listen, you're a professional, brother. Get it done. I don't really care that you aren't accomplishing what you're doing. You know, what we need you to do, and then now we're going to demote you in some way that it doesn't entice you to want to come play better. But then at the same time, we also understand that, you know, these are human beings, and fragility is a very tough situation to approach with different people. You know, everyone doesn't accept the fragileness of being demoted or you know, being told, you know, being degraded or being critiqued, you know. So I get it. I understand what you're saying, but I do think there is something that you have to do to change instead of just continuing to spin the wheel in the same place.
By the way, you want to hear the lineup, the five that have outscored the other five?
Yes, please.
By 40 points. Now, this is just in 34 minutes.
Keon Ellis is on it.
No, he's not, but it's kind of goofy. Again, this is just in 34 minutes. This is a five-man combination, according to a Basketball Reference. They're plus 39.7 in those 34 minutes. Herter, Lyles, Davion, Monk, and Sabonis. I don't hear anybody saying, we need those five out there. But in 34 minutes, they're plus 40. And by the way, minus 38.3 is Fox, Lyles, McGee, Monk, and Murray. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Lawrence on Sacktown Sports. Hello, Lawrence. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
Yeah, talking about, you know, off-season moves, stuff that was like we were hoping would happen, and just the moves that we could have helped. I was really hoping that after the midseason, Sasha would really find his way, like come in and really start, even if he was hitting three threes a game, 15, 20 minutes. He just never settled in, and then he got hurt. And I thought it was going to be such a great move, the off-season move for us, and that was really what I was really hoping. He would settle in, and that would be our big improvement point.
Thank you, Lawrence. There's a very good chance that that's also what the front office was hoping and planning. You know, they're not going to come out and say that. They don't care what we think, but bottom line, they may have figured that, look, it's likely that by now, by March, this guy, the EuroLeague MVP, he's going to be a solid part of our rotation if he's not starting. It just hasn't worked out. That's the way it goes.
It is, and you almost broke some news here, but I like where you're going. I thought you had the one-up, and you were going to let everybody know here on the Drive Guys that you had that prime information, but it doesn't sound like that. And so right
now—
That
was an observation. That was my guess. My guess, when it happened, even before they brought him in, Zinkov in, I looked at it and said, you know what? I would bet you the plan is you bring back HB, and he's fine, and he holds down that position until Mr. Vazenkov is ready to take it over.
But Mr. Vazenkov.
Yeah, Mr. Vazenkov. That hadn't happened.
No. And the injury stalled that out, you know, and hopefully.
And it also took him longer than I think they hoped to get somewhat acclimated early in the year. He couldn't play him.
Yeah. It's tough, man. Yeah. As I take a step back and look at this conversation and, you know, I guess the whole ball and wax whitey, we're in a tough situation, man. The Kings are in a tough situation, and as the caller said, it at this point, you know, we can wish, dream, hope, pray, and everything else, but the execution is what's definitely going to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, and Jay has been championing this view for a while. If you just start to forget about the expectations, like they should have won that game, should have won this game, and just look that, wow, they're playing meaningful games here. They got the Lakers and the Bucks coming in. It's a lot more fun, and I don't know what's going to happen, but if you just worry less about what's already happened and focus on, we got big-time basketball games that matter here in Sacramento.
Yes, sir.
It's not last year, but who knows where it's going to go? Well, it's a lot more enjoyable, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Emil Fragoso, our 49er insider, with what they got going on today next year with the Drive Guys on Sactown Sports. Yeah, here we are. Baseball opening day is, 17 days away. The NBA playoffs loom. March Madness is right around the corner. And everybody today is talking about the National Football League because free agency is underway. The 49ers have already been busy with more on that. Nice enough to join us today. And it's Whitey and Jay. Kyle Draper on assignment. He'll be back with us tomorrow. I don't know. What that means. Everyone always says that. Sounds more official than he has a day off. Kyle Draper's on assignment. Emil Fragoso is with us. So, Emil, I'm sorry. Your nemesis is not here for you to ceaselessly needle.
It sounds like he's avoiding me. That's what it sounds
That's
like.
It could be. It could be. Hey, what's the big headline today? I think, you know, it's changed since we found out we were going to have you on. I guess the 49ers already signing a big-time pass rusher today.
Yeah, Leonard Floyd. It's unofficial, of course. It's the legal tampering period, whatever. Hours of the free agency period. So until Wednesday, it cannot become official. But Leonard Floyd coming over from the Buffalo Bills, 2-year, $20 million deal, up to $24 million possibly. It's a great deal. It's a really great deal for the 49ers, and it comes after getting rid of or potentially releasing Eric Armstead here in the next couple of days. And it's a move that gives them consistency on the other side of the defensive line opposite of Nick Bosa. I mean, Leonard Floyd in the last 4 years has 39.5 sacks in the last 4 years. Incredibly consistent player, able to do it in multiple different systems. And as well, a former protege under Brandon Staley, the new Niners assistant head coach. So that is also helpful for this new defense with Brandon Staley and with Nick Sorensen to have a guy familiar with the system somewhat to bring him in. So I think it's a really nice get and one that's cost effective, especially.
Emil, the one thing the question I have with this move is technically, and correct me if I'm wrong, he's an OLB on paper. And I know he plays a lot off the rush, but does that mean what? Does that mean the Oren Burks spot, the third linebacker spot, the nickel? What do they move as far as defensive wise when Leonard's on the field?
Yeah, Leonard Floyd has played in the OLB spot, absolutely, but he's going to be more of a defensive end under the Niners team. The third linebacker spot's going to still be the middle of the park. It's still going to be Oren Burks or potentially Demetrius Flanagan Fowles, whoever comes back from that third linebacker crew. Leonard Floyd's going to move down into the trenches. He's no longer going to be coming off the top like that, like he was at Buffalo with the Rams. He's going to be a straight edge player, which again, at 31 years old, he's still a very, very talented player. I mean, we just saw Brian Burns get traded to the New York Giants. And actually, Leonard Floyd has more sacks than Brian Burns in the last four seasons. Wow. Just putting it out there. So for a guy who just got paid 5-year, 150, he had one less sack than Leonard Floyd, who got 2-year, $20 million. So when you're talking about cost effective and consistent, and a guy who has not missed a snap in six seasons for both Buffalo and the Rams, it's an incredibly good deal, and one that I don't really get why the Niner Twitter is kind of blowing up right now and getting upset about. It's a cost-effective deal and one that's going to provide them with a consistent player off the edge.
Emil Fragoso, our 49er insider with us, does the acquisition of Floyd mean that we're not going to have a Bosa brother reunion in Santa Clara?
The million-dollar question, the Bosa brothers. Yes, this has been a rumored thing now for a while. Obviously, Joey Bosa appearing at many Niner playoff games over the last couple of years because the Chargers, they don't really make the playoffs too much. They don't really make a lot of noise in the postseason. So obviously, Joey's got to have an alternate team in the NFC, of course, with his brother Nick. It's a possibility, but it goes back to day three of the new league year, which is on Friday, I believe. Both him and Khalil Mack have an incentive in their deal to be on the roster, I believe, by that date. I forget the exact number, but they could be released potentially from the Chargers by that date. And if they get released, then the Niners are in play. The Niners will not be trading for Joey Bosa because of the cap. It'd be $22 million this year, I believe 24 next year. They can't afford that. They can't afford to pay both Bosa brothers basically a quarter of the salary cap. That's not feasible to do. So in order to get Joey Bosa, it would have to be a release from the Chargers, and he would sign either a minimum deal or a much lesser deal, and the Chargers would have to pay basically a lot of dead cap to see Joey Bosa play with his brother in Santa Clara.
Emil, break down this Eric Armstead situation just for the people who aren't in the know, and for our listeners. You do a great job of it. Eric Armstead for the June 1st deadline and how that works.
And what his prospects are somewhere else. Mm.
Yeah, it's a really, really interesting situation. Obviously, Eric Armstead set to be released from the 49ers because of salary cap issues, as well of him having the $28.4 million cap hit this year, the third highest on the team, I believe, if not the second. And Eric Armstead, a player they really, really like, obviously one of their captains, four-time captain, won't pay man of the year. But this really comes down to money. And they approached Eric to take a pay cut this year. He declined. They wanted him to restructure his deal and turn it more into incentives, more into a play to get the money. And obviously, Eric coming off a torn meniscus going into this lengthy rehab this offseason, he didn't want to do that. He wanted to test his market instead. So it's interesting to see what he could get. I could see Eric Armstead getting $10 million plus per year, potentially $15 million plus per year, if he was healthy. That's the kicker here, guys. And that's where I think that there is still some play, potentially, for him to come back to the 49ers if he doesn't get that big deal. Again, he said he wanted to look at the market. And the Niners have not made anything official yet. So until they do, he's still on the roster. So just like last year with Darius Slay and the Eagles, where they said they were going to cut him, and then 24 hours later turned around and paid him, gave him the restructured deal, it's still possible Eric Armstead could come back, but only if he agrees to the restructure. We'll see if he plays nice or if he wants to go get his bag.
Emil, your boy Drape says, hey, if I'm the 49ers, I'm worried about what the Eagles have done today. What do you think of that?
Oh, okay, sure. I mean, I'd be more worried about what the Packers and the Raiders have done today, but all right. The Eagles, you've added Saquon Barkley. That's fantastic. Saquon Barkley is a talented running back, but can he stay healthy? Can he stay on the field? I mean, running backs in this market, it feels like are a dime a dozen. I mean, Austin Eckler, who's been a hamster wheel, both in the passing and run game, just signed a short-term deal with the Commanders, 20 minutes ago? I mean, running backs are unfortunately interchangeable, it feels like nowadays, unless you have a Christian McCaffrey type of player. So, yes, Saquon Barkley is a big get, absolutely, but this is a guy also coming off multiple lower body injuries. He's not the same player he even was in college. I'm a big fan of Saquon Barkley, but I don't think it's one of those needle mover things. How about Drapes? How about you go get some more defensive line players? How about you go get some cornerbacks? How about you go get some safeties? That's what the Eagles kind of need more so than a running back, but whatever.
joined by Emil Fragoso, our San Francisco 49ers insider. Emil, real quick, Rashad Jenkins has been rumored, I guess, and maybe you can confirm it. He's been in Santa Clara to talk to the 49ers. Now, he's a safety. What would they be looking at? Is Jair Brown not going to be a starter? Because you can't tell me Talanoa Hufanga doesn't come back and start.
Yeah, it's not that Huff isn't going to start. It's not that they don't want Jair Brown to start after a very promising rookie season. It's that, is Huff going to be ready to go day one of training camp, right? Coming off of a torn ACL week 11, you know, you don't want to just rush him back into the fire if you don't have to, especially for a guy who plays with such tenacity and such speed and versatility like Hufanga. So Rashawn Jenkins would be more of a depth play, kind of similar to how Tashaun Gibson was brought on at the end of training camp in 2022, brought on to just be kind of a backup, you know, like Logan Ryan, but then turned into a starter.
Right.
So that's kind of where they're at right now with Rashawn Jenkins. And I'm a big fan of Rashawn Jenkins. People forget 2023, again, he had 101 combined tackles. Year prior, 116 combined tackles. This guy has been all over the field playing every single regular season game as well for the Jaguars, only 30 years old. If they can get him on a short-term, one-year, two-year deal, around $10 million total, that'd be an absolute home run for them and give them some serious, not only safety coverage, but nickelback coverage, which is what they really, really need.
Speaking of the secondary, Emil, this to me was the biggest surprise of the day, me personally. And I know the Kirk Cousins deal is staggering, and there were some other surprises. But Isaiah Oliver, and I don't know him. I wish him nothing but the best, honestly. The 49ers couldn't keep him on the field last year. And the Jets signed him. Yeah. He's already signed a deal. What is going on?
Look, it's a short-term deal. It's a one-year deal. It's not too much. It's more so Robert Saleh bringing in a guy that worked with Kyle and that knows the system, wants to give him one more chance in the NFL, play him at safety, which is what he showed a little more promise at than playing cornerback or nickelback.
Yeah.
It's a training camp deal. It's nothing more. If he performs well, he could be on the roster on the 53, absolutely. But it's still up in the air if he makes a 53-man roster. Don't put too much weight in it. Okay. What you should put weight in what is what just broke from Ian Rapoport, that Houston Texans are expected to sign Titans linebacker Azeez Al-Shaair on a 3-year, $34 million deal, breaking as of right now. Azeez Al-Shaair, the former Niner, third linebacker, got paid, got his money. Congratulations to Azeez. Great story, great human being. 3-year, $34 million.
That's what's up, man.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, Emil, bigger story to Emil Fragoso today. Josh Jacobs dipping on and making his way to Green Bay, or the Raiders picking up C. Wilkins from the Dolphins?
C. Wilkins for the Dolphins. That was shocking. Absolutely shocking. And a massive deal. We knew Christian Wilkins was going to get paid, right? Obviously, Chris Jones got paid. Justin Ambuke got paid from the Ravens. We knew Wilkins was going to get his money. But for it to come from the Raiders was very unexpected. I did not see the Raiders being in play for a star defensive tackle. They like what they got out of Bilal Nichols last year. They liked having Max Crosby, liked having versatility, the young guys. But again, it's all about winning the war of the trenches. And the Raiders get that. Antonio Pierce gets that. And getting Christian Wilkins to pair alongside Max Crosby to go chase after Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert and all the good quarterbacks in the AFC, really good move. Really, really good move for the Raiders. And that's the move that I think is more important. And again, defensive lineman over running back. What's the more important position? Defensive lineman, probably.
Emil's very crisp today, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Very on
point. His off day.
Bring it. I know.
On his off day.
It's like,
shouts
I think
out to him.
The rigors of the regular season really, you know, kind of dragged him down towards the end of the year, but now he's ready to go. Yeah.
Boys, let me tell you, the last month or so was 100% a grind for me getting through the postseason. I was ready for Cabo, as they say. I was ready for Cabo and Cancun, but I am now reinvigorated and ready to roll into this offseason.
Yeah, it shows. Thanks, Emil. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Yeah. For great 49er coverage, SacktownSports.com. Check out our insider, Emil Fragoso. When we come back, this is unfortunate. Pistons general manager threatens heckling fan. So see, it could be a lot worse. Next with the Drive Guys on. I meant to ask Jay about this earlier. So I apologize. I mentioned this earlier and didn't follow up on it. We got so much going on here, but I did have a baseball question for Jay before we get back to the Kings and everything going on in the NFL. Nestor Cortez of the Yankees yesterday, Jay, and I know I sent you the picture.
Yeah.
He debuted some cleats from Nike, custom-made cleats that were denim cleats.
Yes.
And they were not, oh, there's a little denim on there. They were like denim cleats. And somehow they even had the swoosh on there. What did you... I know you've worn a lot of cleats in your day.
Probably what, too many.
What did you think of the denim cleats? Is that something, is that a look that you would bust out someday?
Yeah, I would. I actually enjoyed them. Yeah, I'm all for the doing something different. You know, doing something that doesn't fit the manuscript that everybody else does it. I liked them. Yeah. I enjoyed them. You have to go see them. The Yankees posted them on their Twitter. And I mean, all you have to do is really Google them and you'll be able to see them. But I really liked them, and I thought they were dope.
I guess he's not going to wear them again, though.
No, because he had a bumpy outing, you know, spring training. And then he also, so I should say this, they were by a, as an ad block jumps up on my phone here, mm-hmm. they were the brainchild of Cortez. And of course, Souls by Sir. If you're not, you know, I shouldn't take this for granted. Are you a Souls by Sir guy?
Not really. I know I should be.
Yeah, no, well, it's all good. He's based in Miami. You know, he's in the shoe game. He's in the shoe connoisseur, so to say, creator based out of Miami. And so him and Nestor came up with this idea. According to Nestor, he wanted something a little, you know, out of the ordinary. Went to Souls by Sir, and Souls hooked him up with a little denim. I like him, though.
Uh-huh.
I know them things are probably heavy, and they probably were cooking the feet.
Right, especially here in Sacramento. You're playing softball, some tournament in July or something. I don't think so.
Florida, feet probably smoking. I'm talking about easy-bake oven. Them things are probably smoking.
But if he'd have put up, what, 3 bagels, he'd have to wear them the next time, right?
Team would force him to. He'd be wearing them for the rest of the year, probably.
Uh-huh.
And he's coming off an injury where he was banged up all last year quite a bit. And so he's trying to get back into the swing of things. And he just wants to flare some things up. Whitey, did you like him?
I didn't like him, but that's why I defer to you. Because like I say, you're a shoe guy. You're a baseball guy. So I was interested to hear what your opinion.
So what is Mr. Gleason rocking out on the field?
I'm wearing the 1972 Oakland A's white cleats, baby.
Ooh, okay. All right. I see you working. Some of the gum drops, the little goody-goody gum drops. Yeah.
I think the tic-tac joints. Actual cleats I wore might have been like Riddell or something. You know.
Yeah. You throwback right now.
Yeah, Whitey. I think.
Flashback Friday cleats.
I'm not proud. I'm not bragging or anything. I'm just being honest with you. When it comes to cleats, my game is not real current.
Okay, so I know you've played some hoop in your time. What are you rocking on the hardwood right now?
I haven't been out there long enough to
But if you had to go right now with all the shoes, you're at the G1C nightly, you get to see everybody come through with the new kicks. What you rocking, man? What's caught your eye?
I like the shoes De'Aaron Fox had on last week that were inspired by the taco truck outside of the G1C.
Okay,
did you hear
so
those?
So you're going Steph Curry Under Armour joints.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I got you.
And I would, does anyone do this? I would wear, if I was playing now, I'd wear, somebody must do this, 2 shoes that are different color.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
I would definitely
do
that.
Quite a bit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In fact, I was thinking of doing that to work one day. Just to see what would happen.
Okay, I like your style.
Yeah, because it's just like you said. It's like, why not?
Very true. We're living in a time where fashion is out the window, meaning you can wear pretty much whatever you want to wear.
That is fashion. Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
it is. Yeah. And it, to most people would say, like, matching is out the window. Overmatching is too much. You know, you can pretty much get away with a lot of different things nowadays.
But I am old school, just being honest. It bothers me when guys' shoes don't match their uniforms.
Oh, and I know, me too.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Can't stand it.
So I was going to say that's a get off my lawn moment. Nah. I know, but to me it's like, come on.
Can't stand
Why
it.
Why wear the uniform if you're not going to just match up with the shoes?
As a shoe guy, and I pride myself on being, I'm 40 years old, I pride myself on being in the golden era of tennis shoes, like the 90s, mm-hmm. early 2000s, mm-hmm. really 90s. But and I say this because this, look, Nike's living off retros right now. No one's really buying brand new Nikes, brand new Jordans, brand new, you know, Reeboks. Like, all these guys are retroing shoes. Every single time you look up, something's being retroed. I don't care if it's a Jamal Mashburn by Fila, of course, a Reebok by Iverson. Like, you know, everything is being retro. And most of the time, they're the top sellers. And it, even now, even the stars of today, like LeBron's 20, shoe 20 or 21, the new generations, which was his first shoe. They've retroed them already, right? And so everything's being retro. I say that to say this, though, Whitey. Growing up in the era of, you know, when Jordan and Pippen and all these things were hot and you had to go get, you know, three or four colors a year. Now it's 36 colors to a shoe now. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
It used to be four. You got the black and white, the white and red or whatever, you know, the typical, and then you might get an all-star kick. I'm totally with you. I completely against the fact of your color, your jersey is red and you're wearing green and yellow.
Yeah.
I can't stand it.
It's almost as if you're making the point that I'm not really with this team.
Yes.
I don't get it.
And
I know it's like you say, that's considered fashionable now, right?
Yeah, it is. We're OGs now. We're OGs. And on top of that, when you go back and you look at your history of guys getting fined for wearing black socks, fined for wearing shoes that weren't, you know, the color of the jerseys, I'm not saying you have to do that. But there is some, like even now, if you wear any socks that's not NBA issued or headbands and stuff, you're getting fined.
I know.
Which is crazy because you can go, again, you could be in a Sacramento Kings jersey and be rocking hot pink and, you know, and green kicks. Mm-hmm. Some reverse Grinches, you know. Y'all don't know if you know what reverse Grinches are. Those Kobe shoes, but yeah.
Right.
Those type of things.
Sure, yeah. This is another thing that bothers me. This is another get off my lawn moment. I still have a hard time with it. And I understand why it is. And it's been this way for quite a while now. When I turn on a game and the visiting team is wearing white, I don't like it. It throws me.
Okay. You're on your own with that one.
Okay.
But I get it.
Yeah. It's like, because at first I'm like, oh, because there's still part of my brain that reverts to that. Oh, they're the home team. And I know that, you know, football hadn't been like that in a long time. But I don't, that's tradition. Teams always wore white at home, except for like the Lakers who wore gold and the Warriors wore gold. And then the Pacers would wear gold on the road. But still, it's like, what was wrong with that? I don't like that. I don't like the road team wearing white. They can wear a different color, just don't wear white. Things could be worse. I know right now in Sacramento, there's a lot of fans. We've heard from fans today.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for participating. People are frustrated. No, that's not bad. Frustrated. But it's really bad in Detroit. Troy Weaver's the GM there. And since he's been there, 3.5 years? And they're 70-229, something like that. I mean, just imagine that. So yesterday he got into it with a fan. Actually, it was Saturday. And there's video that emerged of Pistons general manager Troy Weaver. And he's getting into it with a fan. The fan is confused on the video that's making the rounds on TikTok. The fan criticized Weaver's job during Saturday's home loss. Apparently the fan said, "You're not good at your job," that's like fact, right? That's like saying the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. But Weaver apparently threatened him. "You're lucky I don't kick your ass." You can't say that as a general manager.
"Checking your job."
That's what he said. That's what the fan said. I wasn't going to play Weaver. He said a few other things, and I didn't have time to bleep it out.
Actually, he didn't say you're bad at your job, did he? You played it.
Yeah, he said you suck at your job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which he does.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know.
It's fun. I'm looking at the story here, Fox 2 in Detroit. I don't know. Maybe they carry Pistons games because they don't have in here what the GM said to the fan. They say he had the fan escorted out of the building. But he did threaten him, right?
Yes, he did. So the first thing, and again, I'm not going to play it because, first of all, the audio is just not that great because of secondhand phone. But he says, "I'm going to bleep you up."
That's not funny, except it's so absurd that a GM would say that.
And to paint a picture, they are on opposite sides of a railing. And it's like stairs that enter.
It's almost like where the players come underneath, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Kind of like the
right
tunnel, so
them.
To say. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So kind of that wedge in the arena.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And Troy is on one side and his fan is on one side. And just in the 21 seconds that has been posted, Troy says, "I'm going to bleep you up." And then he was like, I would beat your butt.
Yeah.
And then the fan says, "What I played," he was like, "You suck at your job." And then Troy points down to an usher, security, someone, and says, "This guy," know, points at this guy. And
the
then,
fan immediately goes to the Jokic thing with the hands, right? Like, what
did I do?
Yeah.
Right. Shoulders on his neck.
And he says, you threatened me.
Yes. He tells the usher, he threatened me. Uh-huh. That guy threatened me. And then the video goes off.
Yeah.
And he's kind of looking around at other fans who are kind of, you know, he's looking for someone to sign off with them. And they're looking like, nah, man, I paid for tickets, brother. You on your own on this one.
The video does not show how the argument started.
No, it does not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A fan sitting nearby said that guy was in the incident with the Red Wing stuff on, came over and was pointing at the scoreboard earlier in the game. Troy Weaver just shrugged his shoulders and said, okay. And the guy went back to his seat. When Jalen Duren got ejected midway through the fourth quarter, the guy came back and told him he was terrible at his job. Then Troy Weaver was telling the fan he had to leave, and that's when the ushers or security.
You suck at your job.
So it's possible the guy came over and said something. Troy Weaver's like, okay. And then it's just, you know, you can imagine how frayed your nerves are when you're 70 and 229. And then he just snapped. Just snapped.
It's pressure right there, brother.
Yeah.
Every day I'd wake up like, this might be the last. This might be the last for me. I might be on the way out.
Yeah.
You're talking about living in the moment. Every time I was able to still scan my card and that and that arm would that gate arm would lift up and allow me.
Yeah. Hold on one more day. But if you get to the point where you tell a fan, no matter what he says, I will beat your ass. Don't you have to go, you know what, I'm done. Sorry.
Your nerves.
Yeah, I'm out. You know,
he's got the nerves of a parent with a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Yeah. Well, best of luck,
man.
Everybody.
He's on the edge right now.
Yeah, in Detroit. And see, we got it. We literally have it great here compared to that. We're talking playoffs. We're talking playoffs. When we come back, I'll tell you what I hate about the Bears' new stadium plan. And we'll get back to the Kings conversation as well. The Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. As we sort through a busy, busy Monday, thanks for being with us. Jay just asked a great question. Can we ask that question now, Jay, or did you want to hang on to it? The question you just asked.
Sure, we can ask it. I think it's something on the poster wall. We'll throw some darts at down the rope.
All right. So it's okay if we ask it now?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Well, we were just talking about the Detroit situation, of course, how bad it is. And we're talking about how, relatively speaking, you know, we got a lot to play for here. But Jay had a – why don't you ask a question? Jay had a great question. Great question for all sports fans here.
Yeah, all sports fans. Look, this is hypothetical. No, I don't need anyone call. You would never be the coach or the general manager of nothing. Okay, I get it. But let's just say, let's play armchair, you know, sports guy. If you could be two spots, the general manager and the head coach or manager, depending on what sports you choose, that you, if the opportunity, you could pick anywhere. But my question to you, Whitey, and Sports 1140 fans, 916-339-1140, is there any job out there that you would not take a general manager and or a head coaching position for that team or organization right now? Would you turn it down?
For whatever reason.
Whatever it is.
My first thought was there might be some, if there was an owner that I thought was just, you know, total whack job and I didn't want to immerse myself in that, I would turn that down. But I really haven't thought of one yet where that applies to.
Yeah.
Jay had a great one.
And it's interesting, real quick, Whitey, because we're talking about high-paying position, you know, a lot of respect and power, a lot of authority.
Maybe leads to something further down the road. Maybe have success and you, yeah.
Very true. I mean, you know, we're talking about Troy Weaver, general manager of the Detroit Pistons, who's 70 and 200 and something. I can't remember what you said. But
I think it's 70 and 229.
Oof. 70 and 229. And we were talking about, you know, just a blessing for him to even still hold that job. And hopefully it turns it around. I don't know. But for me, yeah, there's one right off the bat. And it's local and it hurts. It's painful because I'm a huge fan. It's the Oakland A's, man. For me, I would not take the GM and or the head coaching spot for the Oakland A's right now. I would turn it down.
I would turn down, you're not going to believe me, but I would turn down any managing offer to be a Major League Baseball manager because of what is being reported about managers now and how they don't get to do things that people think they get to do, but they're still held responsible for them. Mm. You know, front offices.
Analytics.
Yeah, front offices, and you could probably speak to this with your vast baseball knowledge, front offices will dictate lineups.
Yes.
People wonder, why is this guy putting that guy in there? And for some reason, managers never say they told me to. But Joe Maddon, after he got let go a few years ago, remember he said, they'll come into your dugout and they will tell you what to do. And they're not even, you know, they won't even be subtle about it. Baseball managers now, I think people would be shocked if they knew how it really works in terms of, this is the guy you're playing. Why? Because the pitcher has this spin rate and this guy's batting average off of pitchers with this spin rate is 360. Seriously, stuff like that.
Yeah, you're right.
I think so, people would be like, what?
So that detours you from taking any job?
Yeah.
Right now, because of the pressure or because of the
because of the helplessness.
Okay.
Of like, I'm the manager, but I can't do anything.
Hmm.
Like Dave Roberts a few years ago when they were playing, I think they're playing Boston in the World Series.
Okay.
And people were like, why is he start these lefties? He leaves his best hitters on the bench. They're lefties and blah, blah, blah. And I remember we were doing an interview with Greg Vaughn because Vaughn had his golf tournament going on or something.
Sure, sure.
And he was telling us off air. He said, yeah. He used to be teammates with Dave Roberts. And he said, I was asking Doc about that. And Doc says, I know, but it's not my decision. I know. I think it's a bad idea, too. But it's what they tell me to do.
Wow.
That's one reason why managers sometimes in baseball, people say, that guy's terrible. Why'd they hire him again? It was because it wasn't his fault. He did what they told him to do.
He's basically, so
yeah.
you wouldn't even ride the wave. You wouldn't even go along for the ride. Just, as you said, you were a duck that couldn't fly.
Yeah, I just don't want that helpless feeling of, well, this is what I would do, but nope, that's not what you're doing. And then I have to answer all the questions from the media, you know, like, why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? So
then you just come out and say, man, analytics say it. Because, look, you're already a lame duck, so you're already saying, I don't really care. I'm just throwing it on the table.
I guess that's not allowed because no one's done that I know of.
Well, that's
no
because
one has ever said, well, I wanted to play the righty, but the idiots upstairs said I got a pinch hit Johnson. He couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat.
You know why,
but
though?
The math computation say he should be playing.
Calculation.
Yeah.
The arithmetic.
Yeah.
But you know what?
It's the algorithm says he should play.
They want to be a coach. You don't. So you can go down there and speak for all managers and coaches abound, man.
Yeah. That's why, too, there's so many of these managers just like, who is that guy? Right?
That's the left-handed that's our left-handed closer we only use three times a year.
Remember a couple years ago when the Padres hired Jace Tingler?
Yes.
And I was like, what?
Come on, man. He's a good bench coach. He's been around the game for years.
Guess. Yeah, he didn't
do your
long.
Research there, Mr.
Yeah.
Gleason.
And on, you know, contrary to what I said, you look at Boach, who he managed in the old days, and Dusty just got out of it and had success. And if those guys could figure it out, I'm sure I could deal with it, but I just wouldn't want any part of that.
So, like,
hey,
no baseball team.
Nope, that's not who we're playing today. Skip. Talk to Johnson down there in analytics. He's got your lineup for you.
No baseball team
that
are you managing.
That pimple-faced nerd is going to tell me who should be in a lineup for my ball club. I don't want any part of that.
It's a cold piece,
Pass.
Brother.
Pass.
That's a cold piece, man. Can you pick one organization that I guess highlights your your conundrum? Is there anyone
How
out
about
there?
The Giants.
Okay, that's fine. Believe me, I'll take it. I'll take it. You ain't got to manage or GM the Giants.
Uh-huh. Just because – and they probably are just, like, probably middle of the road. But, you know, people blamed Kapler for all that stuff. And, you know, he was kind of an odd fit in a lot of ways. He didn't look like a manager. But I think a lot of stuff that he did, it wasn't just him. That was the way they did things. They were hunting, you know, favorable matchups to an extreme. It wasn't just his idea. They weren't just doing that because Kapler thought it was a good idea.
Yeah. I definitely thought Cap got the short end of the stick. But from what I know and hear and have been told and, you know, you do the research, like Cap is he's a different Cap, man.
I think so,
you know, you either got to be all in or a lot of out when it comes to Cap.
It'll be interesting to see if he gets another managing job.
I think he will. He's done well, though. Has he not done well?
I would bet you he doesn't.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because he's such, as you say, just such a different, I think he's a lot really off-putting to a lot of people, including sometimes his own players. He had that one magnificent year, and other than that, it's been a little weird.
Yeah, but he hasn't just, like, nothing he's done has just been like, oh, come on, man, what are we doing here? Like, there's plenty of head coaches we could say that about, and maybe, as you said, they're the analytical, you know, analytics guys behind them, but I don't think, I get people have a, you know, a stereotype with Cap, and I don't want to say stereotype because it could be true, but I use the word stereotype because I don't know it firsthand. I think he's okay, though. Like, he's not the worst.
He's learned like everybody else. Yeah, everybody makes mistakes. But, Jay, when his first year with the Phillies, he brought in a pitcher that wasn't warmed up. And the umpire had to say,
that was analytics.
You can't do that. The umpire had to say, I'm going to go ahead and let him warm up because I don't want him to get hurt.
That was analytical guy.
You can't do that.
That was a pimple face guy that was down that you said. That was a pimple face guy that told you do it. It wasn't was, Cap.
That's so funny. You can't do I'm going to let him warm up this time. But in the future, Skip, you can't do that. We'll get back to the
Gold
Kings.
Piece. Cap getting a bad rap on the drive, guys.
Sabonis stands on the brink of franchise history. Tell you all about it when we come back. Sacktown Sports.